Hello there, my name is Domen, and I'd like to welcome you to the pilot episode of Unlock Realities, a podcast focused around the different realities we come in contact with these days, whether it's augmented, mixed, or virtual. In every episode, we will be talking with a professional from the industry, bringing you insights to the future. No, really, stay tuned. In this pilot episode, I sit down with my first guest and future co-host and all-around awesome dude, Vlad, on his couch in Hamburg, Germany. Vlad goes by the name VR Human in the VR art scene. We talk about his beginnings as an artist, old computers, going blind, and what's it like to create a piece of art every single day. Enjoy.
My first question to you, and as it will be in the future for everybody else, is who are you? Where are you from? And what do you do?
Hi, thanks for having me, Domen. That's so cool. I like it.
So funny that you say that when you were in your apartment.
Right? So. It's like we were sitting on my sofa just chilling. So, I didn't notice you. Welcome. Welcome to my sofa.
I mean, I haven't seen you now for... It's been a year. About a year since you moved here, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't seen you for a year.
Oh, man. Was it that long?
It was a whole year. I helped you load the van.
I'm so grateful, man.
So I really hope that we're going to see each other before another 12 months go by.
Yeah, my name is Vladimir Ilic. I'm a VR and AR art director artist from Germany and currently based in Hamburg.
Where do you originally come from? Have you always...
You mean my darkest secrets? My parents are from Yugoslavia, from Serbia. And they moved here in the early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I was born in Germany, in the south of Germany, in the Black Forest. Went to school there, grew up there,
You had to walk to school every day, 20 kilometers
through the forest,
in the snow, uphill.
Exactly, fight
there
bears,
and back again.
Fight bears, like wrestle them in the snow.
Awesome. What did you study? What did you go to school to?
I went to the standard graphics design school. Learned a ton there. It was pretty broad. You learned a typography. It was kind of old school. You learn like with the brush and with the feather quill, learn how like really the old way of designing fonts.
Calligraphy,
exactly. Calligraphy is the term for it. Calligraphy, really hands-on old school, like getting your hands dirty with the ink.
Do you still do that?
I always want to. It's so relaxing. It's so meditative. And I really think the human is really designed to make things with the hands. So it really helps you focus on and get to know your roots. It's very important.
After you finished your studies, did you start working in design?
I was right after design school. I started working as a car designer. Back then I thought like car design was one of the most challenging disciplines you can pursue as a designer. Back then I thought like right after design school, it was the south of Germany, there's just car companies down there. So it's pretty much what is down there, like Porsche, Audi,
Mercedes-Benz is in Stuttgart.
Yeah, so right after design school I went to do some car designs on the Porsche Panamera, some parts, the A-Class from Mercedes-Benz back then. Some stuff there, some industrial design, some interface design.
Wait, you did design on the actual cars that got produced afterwards?
I did some. I'm not sure if I can talk about which parts, but the design studio work is like pretty much, yeah. So it was a mix of interior and exterior, so please don't sue me. I don't remember the NDAs from... It was years ago.
Yeah, I mean, all those products or cars are now already in production.
Yeah,
so there's been,
they're old now. They're old, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, I've known you for years and I didn't
you
fucking
didn't
know that.
You didn't know?
You never fucking
told me
that?
No, it's fucking boring as fuck. I hate that part of my life. I hate that. It was the Porsche Panamera. The back, the hatchback was just designed to put in golf bats and shit. It's the only purpose.
Well, still, I didn't know that. So that actually makes a kind of an interesting story on how you got to where you are today. So how did you get started with virtual reality?
Oh, that was interesting. Yeah, I had after I worked a while and I had like a grasp of my career path and everything, I had an inflammation in my left brain hemisphere, which made both of my eyes go blind 50%. Like the right half of both eyes was missing, which was weird. It's kind of hard to explain. I noticed it really when I was driving to work with my colleague, and I was like, something's weird. It's so weird. You have these lanes in Germany. It's like there's one line on the left and one on the right. And I was like, dude, I'm missing a line. A line is missing, like the right lane, like the white line, it's not there. It's like, what's wrong with you? And like, it's weird. It wasn't there. It's hard to explain. It wasn't black. It wasn't white. It was just non-existent. What's happening? The cat is playing cat things. Yeah. So yeah, it was weird. So I'm also then like, after, and I noticed, I was like, okay, this is weird. Maybe I slept weirdly on my eye. Because mm-hmm. at first I thought it was only the right eye. And after like 2 days, I went to the eye doctor, and the eye doctor like immediately said, okay, please sit you down here, wait a second. And then he called the ambulance and they drove me to the hospital, and they went full on Armageddon on my butt, like put me through all kinds of weird machines and everything and all kinds of weird medication where I like blew up like a balloon and whatnot. It was a kind of interesting experience. So then I was explained, it was explained to me that I lost vision of both of my eyes. The inflammation in my brain was caused by my immune system attacking my nervous system, and that caused both of my eyes to shut down, basically, which was kind of life-changing for me.
You can see now.
Yeah, it's way better now. It's way better now. I had this, I don't notice any residues. There's this super special test they can do, which like, okay, you have here some spots missing or whatnot, but I don't notice it, and I can do anything perfectly fine, like driving cars or anything. That's no problem with that.
Okay, and that made you...
That made me like think about my life, man. That one was an interesting experience for me. Kind of question, you wake up every day, and one day you wake up and maybe can't walk again or can't see again, go blind, and makes you think about how do you spend your time. And it was when I decided, okay, take a few steps back and evaluate what you're gonna do with your life. And then I made a list of things I care about, things I like, things that inspire me. And the things on the list were art, design, music, technology, science, and humans in general, and circled that list and was looking for ways how can I do all that stuff that inspires me all the time. Like, which direction do I have to go to fulfill my human needs? To like, I need to express myself. I need to do the things that interest me. And that was when VR was right around the corner. And yeah, things kind of got crazy after that. My gut told me to this is it. This is the technology that wasn't around before. And all the things I learned before that, design, 3D modeling, composition, visual design, how do you design compelling stories, mm-hmm. how do you tell compelling stories also from a marketing perspective, all these skills I learned over the past years that also acquired myself that I didn't learn in design school lined up to be some of the perfect traits you need to work in virtual reality, because you have to be in possession of such a broad a range of instruments to play with.
That's so cool. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've tried painting in VR. I have an Oculus at home. I played games with it, but painting, I can't paint to save my life. And seeing your work, it's just like, awesome. Just awesome to look at. Okay, a bit of a tangent.
Mm.
What are you currently obsessed with?
Oh, right now it's weird. I'm doing this thing called VR Every Day, where I challenge myself to get out of my comfort zone every day. So right now I'm kind of obsessed with challenging myself and growing and working on my weaknesses. So it makes me think every single day, okay, where do I need to work on myself and tackle that heads on? It's like, okay, what's my biggest weakness? Just go there full speed.
You speak Japanese, don't you?
A bit, yeah. It's kind of rusty because I thought it was so cool. I was so fascinated with Asia in general. And there's so many cool designs on, like, they all comes from all over the place, from China and Japan. And I learned a bit of Japanese, but it was like I never used it really in a productive context. So it's dead again. Yeah.
But you were in Japan, weren't
yes,
you?
Yes, I was in Tokyo. Tokyo was amazing. Tokyo was crazy.
And did you use Japanese there?
A bit, yeah. Like ordering ramen, for example. It's like the basics,
well,
really.
That is the most important thing.
Right? Order right. Food. It totally paid off. All the courses of learning Japanese paid off.
Okay. Is there any, aside from your work, any kind of, any topic, like it can be a TV series, or it can be an app, or it can be a certain flavor of ice cream that you are currently obsessed with.
But in what would, can you repeat the question again? Sorry. I was just, I do ice cream.
With the amount of food that we just ate, you're still thinking of ice cream.
No, it was ice cream was in there. We're like, oh, it was so good. We had the most amazing dinner ever. It was crazy, glorious, delicious.
My question was, aside from your daily VR stuff and your work, for instance, a TV series or certain kind of ice cream or your cat, what are you most obsessed with?
Oh, that really shows my, that's like a reoccurring theme in my work, and really enjoying all kinds of media in general, which means like video games, movies. Because I think they're a very good blueprint of things to learn from when working in virtual reality, because all these interaction methods, reward system, digital immersive storytelling techniques, they've been explored in the past. If you look way back at the very old video games, for example, back then they had such a limited palette of tools, colors, sounds to work with, so they had to be very creative. And there are a lot of parallels for that in the current state of virtual reality, where you have to be creative with limited technology, because the displays aren't that advanced yet, input methods also, so
you have to focus more on the story.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay. What's the favorite movie of 2018 that you've seen?
Help me, when was I in the movies the last time?
I don't know.
Ready Player One was kind of cool.
It was,
like,
right?
I love the books. Like, I heard the audiobooks again. But it was kind of weird there. It wasn't perfect, but it was kind of cool. I love the effects. I just went there, like, Transformers, that, yeah, my eyeballs are happy. Just cool effects, and it was interesting. Like, from a visual, I really like the special effects in Ready Player One. They were cool. But what else kind of came out this year?
I love Deadpool.
Deadpool was amazing.
Deadpool 2 was awesome.
I haven't seen the second one. The first one was glorious.
But if you would have said that earlier, we could have watched it, because I have it in my
iTunes. Come on.
But yeah, it's awesome. You should see it. Just today, the first one, the first Deadpool came on Netflix. It's available on Netflix.
Right now?
Yeah.
I have to see it.
The first one.
Watch
the first one, not the second one.
Amazing. Yeah. Amazing movie.
What achievement, what moment of 2018 are you most proud of?
I started like this, again, this VR Every Day thing. It's ruining my life. I'm just kidding. I'm very proud that I'm I'm so fortunate that I can work with this. It's my cat playing her instrument.
Yeah, so VR every day. What inspires you for VR every day? Every day you, do you actually do that every day? Or do you have, you know, a certain number of pieces ready to go and so buffered, so
yeah,
to speak?
I tried doing that at the beginning. It was like a buffer of 3 days that was gone after the first week. And then I was struggling to catch back on and was very intense. The buffering was there at the very beginning. It was buffer at the first week for 3 days, but I immediately burned through it. This is the most interesting part really about the VR everyday thing. It takes so much planning because I didn't anticipate to need to travel that much this year. I literally flew a couple times across the globe and didn't factor in VR everyday. So the first year of VR everyday is a total challenge there. There are some days where I do two. There are some days where I don't do a single one or make one, but I don't like it enough to post it. So it really depends how the outcome is. So I don't want to create something for the sake of creating something and then it's just done to post it. If I don't like it, I don't post it. So, but I plan on continuing the series as much as I can. So by the end of the day, I hope to get the full year. And after the trial tutorial year, I hope to make the volume 2 of VR Everyday a bit more structured.
What inspires you for the VR everyday pieces? Because you go from, in October you did the Inktober things, and then for a while you did the old Nintendo worlds that you made in blocks, yeah. I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And then
exactly.
There's right now you're doing studies on human form.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you get the inspiration? What inspires you for these pieces?
At the moment, or like for 6 months now, it became something like a diary for me, which was weird. At the beginning, it was just ideas I wanted to get out. But after time, I noticed also subconsciously there's like influxes or influences from my daily life that that are kind of imprinted in the everyday. So I kind of started to embrace it. And some days are just, some VR everydays, they're just pure diary for me right now. There was this this VR every day of this cat, and there's this food thing that's like this band of food drawing on this like awesome cat treats and fancy food coming by, and the cat's getting big eyes and this cute animation, bold colors and everything. That was for when my cat didn't eat for 4 days and I was kind of worried. I was like, oh crap, oh she's ill. I don't know why cats don't eat food anymore. So I was kind of like worried and like, but yeah, everything was fine again. She just didn't want to eat for a couple of days. That's what cats do apparently sometimes. So,
sometimes
I'm processing my daily stuff. Sometimes they're just.
Talk me through your process of creating a VR everyday piece. How do you start?
Oh, it's very different. Sometimes I have these ideas that I plan like for months. And it's like, oh, I want to do that forever. I always wanted to see that. And then sometimes find the muse or creative energy to execute those ideas. And sometimes they are very spontaneous. If I meet an interesting person or have a very cool experience or memory, I immediately have to capture that emotion and or memory and want to capture it and then just go for it. So it's kind of flexible there. So it changes from time to time.
Okay. But just from a, let's say latest piece you did, was it the one today that you did?
Oh, it was a character study. Just a simple sketch, that also really changes from time to time. Since VR and AR for that, they give you so many possibilities of expression. Sometimes I just paint in virtual reality and post the process of the painting. Sometimes I go into Unity or Unreal and develop something or create environment in the virtual reality tools and then put it into the game engine and then light it there. So it can go from simple sketch to a gaming prototype or cinematic animation. It's so versatile. It's the cool thing about VR and AR.
Do you freeform draw the things that you create, or do you have a reference pictures? And
that also changes. If I have a very clear vision in mind, I just go for it. It's very freeform. If I'm doing studies where I want to improve, for example, human anatomy or gestures or facial expressions, I pull in reference to really go in and learn. So it also depends on the piece I'm working on. But I'm trying to implement a learning experience for myself in all of them.
You usually also in the last months play music in the background of your VR everydays. What kind of music do you listen to?
I'm obsessed with jazz and lo-fi lately, which is, I don't know where it comes from. I don't know. I used to sing and play guitar in a heavy metal band. When right now, for over a year, I'm so obsessed with jazz and like lo-fi melodic beats and stuff like that, and piano music for the for matter of fact. And I plan on also creating some music in VR.
Mm-hmm.
There are some pretty cool applications for that. To hopefully someday in the future also have the audio that's created in VR and AR, so I can implement them into the VR everydays as well.
Who are your heroes?
Oh, there's Bob Cardo. Bob Cardo got me through design school.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was
okay.
It's a pretty cool thing that happened a couple days ago. It was like, wow, Bob Cardo accepted my friend request on Facebook. It was like, holy crap, just made my day, just fanboying around. It was like massive influence on my work, and yeah, the in general, there's like so many people, it's hard, it's very hard.
Any classical painters that you
I'm obsessed with the old masters, Mucha, crazy, amazing graphical styles, Da Vinci, crazy person, really like people who don't just play on their time and just do the thing that's popular back then, but really went to a different route. That's what I really like.
If you would live in the, say, 16th century, what do you think you would do as a profession?
I would probably die in my 20s of some weird disease because I tripped somewhere, some super unspectacular thing where I'm like, nobody remembers this guy. Look at him. He tripped and died of a broken ankle or something.
So you're a clumsy person?
Yes. Yes. It's weird. Yeah. It's, am I clumsy? Let me check. I think. Am I?
I don't know.
I don't know, really. No, I'm not clumsy.
Well, in the last 2 days, I haven't seen you trip once.
No, so. I'm not clumsy. I wouldn't die like... No, that wouldn't happen. I would die of something way simpler, like a flu or something.
Okay. What kind of media do you consume? I see you don't have a TV.
No, so I...
You don't watch TV.
No, I moved to Hamburg in Germany kind of like reorientate myself. Okay, this is a harbor city. There's ships, like a ton of stories started here in Hamburg. A bunch of... people traveling from Hamburg to America back then. So I thought, okay, I had the option to go to Montreal. I had the option to go to New Zealand. I was like, oh, okay, I had this offer from Hamburg. Let's start there first and then orient myself. And like, okay, think about where I want to go. So I gave my TV to my mother when I moved here because I didn't even watch TV like for a year or something. I just use Netflix right now or YouTube. A ton of Spotify, a lot of Spotify all day.
Spotify is awesome.
Yes. Hello, Spotify. Please give us money.
Not just free subscriptions.
Yeah, so. That's okay with me. Fine, it's the same.
I'm fine. Well, actually, I have to say, I'm quite satisfied with paying for the service because it's
such a great value.
It's worth every cent.
Absolutely, it's a crazy good value. So just music. I listen to a lot of music. I'm so much happier when I didn't notice how time consuming TV and how time draining it was. Crazy. Oh. Yeah. Don't watch TV, kids.
How about podcasts?
No, I always
audiobooks?
No, that's can't find myself in situations where I'm able to fully listen to them. Mm-hmm. I have to try it while painting. I never tried or working while in VR listening to audiobooks, because I always feel like I didn't got that. What happened there? I zoned out for 5 minutes. I don't get the story anymore, and it's weird.
How about when you fly? Because you fly a lot, travel a lot. What do you consume?
They have so many movies there. They have all the movies. Like, I don't know how, but you know, they make you watch 6 movies in a row and like, yo, there you are on the other side of the planet. Have fun. I don't know how they do it. It works. They put a huge display in your face. And then otherwise, I just got the iPad Pro 2018 and Procreate. It's a beast. It's killer. It's amazing. I love painting that. That's cool media to consume.
Wait, you consume your own media?
Yeah, I create it and then consume it. It's self-perpetuating whatever it is.
So can we expect Procreate paintings on your Instagram account?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. I posted one
speed paint. When you did, yeah.
I did that on the airplane flying back from South Korea, which was awesome. We started in Korea in a cafe with Estella. We went there to visit the Korean Arts Institute and gave a couple of workshops and talked there. Met amazing people. And on the flight back, was the first time I had thoroughly time to check out the iPad and Procreate, and amazing experience. Like, I don't know how they did it, but they captured the essence of painting in such a minimal format. There's no bullshit or anything. It's just no fancy interface or anything. It's just you and go there and paint. And
there's no mess in getting your clothes dirty, and your the guy next to you sitting on the airplane.
Yeah, just calling security. No, nothing of that.
What do you think you're gonna? What are your plans for next year, for the next 12 months of VR human? What do you want to achieve? Where do you see yourself in
I want to see my friends. I want to see all my friends. They're all over the place. There's so many amazing people, and we're all scattered around the globe. It's crazy. I would love to meet all of them. There's like, most of them are in the US, but there are a couple in Russia, in Asia, in Australia, literally everywhere. And I would love to see more of those people. People I had the chance to meet so far, all of them kind of changed my life to some extent, and I'm very grateful for that. And I would love to further expand on these friendships. These are really amazing, inspiring people.
That's awesome. So starting your work in VR has literally changed your life.
Yeah, absolutely. Without a doubt.
I'm pretty much out of questions at this point.
Thank you, man. Thank you. I have to put another thing here. Domin here was the guy who assembled my very first VR system with me together. He was there selecting the parts with me. He was assembling the system with me, installing all the crap, troubleshooting, because nothing worked at the beginning. We're like, what are we doing wrong?
And, good old days.
And I started doing YouTube videos just to get my feet wet and try how all this online thing works, like promoting yourself, uploading videos. How does it work? How does the internet work if you're a content creator? And Domin here was by my side like all the time. He was hands-on there, editing the videos, recording some audio with me, and you guys should follow him. He's amazing. And I wouldn't have had the chance to fly across the globe like a crazy person doing crazy virtual reality stuff without a domain here. So thank you for that.
You're gonna make me shed a manly tear.
Yes, man. Please do so.
Well, it was quite awesome when we at the very beginning. Remember the morning you woke up.
Mm.
After,
oh yeah.
was it Iliad or Ili? What's his face?
It was Illidan from World of Warcraft. It was crazy back then.
How many views was that in one night?
No idea. I don't know.
I think it was 30,000 or something
like
that.
Crazy
in one
back
night
then for us, because we had nothing back then and was like, whoa.
Well, you were kind of abusing Reddit.
No. Oh God, how careers end. No, yeah.
Of course they don't.
I think it's normal. Like, just a lot of Reddit.
I mean, yeah, it was self-promotion, but it was relevant self-promotion.
It was fan art and people liked it. And I really enjoyed World of Warcraft. I had over 400 hours locked into that game. I loved it so much.
Oh, such a beginner.
It was so addicting, crazy.
I mean, I never really played much of World of Warcraft because I refused to pay 30 or whatever euros a month it
was
to play.
But you addicted to that shit before. It was crazy.
I played it up to a point where I could, where I was able to play it for free.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think I got gifted like, I don't know, 2 months.
Yeah, they
from
got
somebody.
The perfect system for that as well. Like,
so then I played those 2 months and then it was like, oh, now you have to pay. And I thought, fuck off.
Whatever. No,
I don't.
It's crazy.
I didn't have that many hours there. The most hours I think I had was in Battlefield 4.
4 or 3? I had such a crush on 3. I was...
3 I only played on the Xbox.
Wait a second. Was it Battlefield 4? Let me check the logo. Battlefield 4? Was it the orange guy? It was Battlefield 4.
Battlefield 4 was the one with the Shanghai towers.
Ah, that's the one I was addicted to, yes.
Yeah. I was quite kind of addicted to Counter-Strike, but I haven't played it in probably at least almost a year now.
You were also the person that played back then in 1.6. And then Source. Was it Source?
It was Source, but I didn't play that one.
Source.
Actually,
it sounds wrong now.
I played Counter-Strike the first time. I played it before the version 1.3. So 1.3 was the first really competitive one. I played it at, I think it was 1.1 at the time that I played it.
Yeah.
And that was at the same time when Quake 3 Arena was very popular.
Okay.
And I was on the organizing committee of a couple of LAN parties.
Yeah.
We had, I think the maximum we had 40 or 50 people. So I was...
This is a lot for a LAN party. That's a ton, man.
Yeah, and consider that was 16 years ago.
Back then,
there was no LCD screens. That was
like you had these, how do you call them, CRTs?
Yeah,
heavy motherfuckers.
Back then, the biggest advance in monitor technology was entirely flat screens. The screens
that weren't curved in the other way.
The
fucking glass fields, shields in front of them. Wow, these were intense. Like they all of them bent at your table a bit. Like
yeah, we had good tables. We had good organization. We did well. Yeah, I was organizing LAN parties, and there was two camps. There was the Quake players, and there was the CS players.
Mm.
And there was a couple of us that played both. But I only played Counter-Strike when there was not enough people to play Quake 3 Arena. And at that point, it's like, yeah, I'm just better at Quake, so I can't be bothered with that semi-realistic stuff, because... Counter-Strike had weapon recoil. I didn't like that.
It was, you could fix it back then. That's like, there were so many hacks back then. Like you could, like not hacks, but so many things you could do in the config
file.
There
was aimbots that you could use those.
Oh
quite
no, that wasn't
easily.
Cool, man. That's not cool. I remember I was like in internet cafes were a thing back then. You'd go in, pay a couple bucks to play Counter-Strike with everyone in the cafe. So there was a wall, people had wall hacks on and whatnot. It was like crazy times back then.
I refused to ever pay in a cafe to go play games because I had my own PC.
It was crazy.
It wasn't the best, but it was mine.
What kind of PC did you have? Tell me the specs.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, the very first PC I had was...
Yeah, the first usable one, like the Windows machines, right? Or did you start with the MS-DOS things back then?
I started before DOS.
Holy shit!
Just for the record, I'm not that old. My father was a systems engineer and we had computers at home from a very early age because my father had a Schneider computer.
Mm. Yeah.
That was the one that the monitor was only had two colors. There was dark green and light green.
Oh, it's... Mm.
And everything, all the system components were in the keyboard. So the keyboard was, I don't know, 10 centimeters thick almost.
I want to see pictures of it.
And on the right side where the numerical keyboard is on modern keyboards, there was a cassette player. And the cassettes...
I was still taping.
The tape cassettes. Wow. And those were the data.
I believe you had to wait until everything was loaded into the...
Yeah.
I say quotes RAM. Yeah. You would call that RAM nowadays, but back then...
It was like, memory, yeah.
Crazy.
And I also had a joystick for that thing. Mm. So I was playing video games on a two color display. That was quite something.
That's really cool.
But yeah, afterwards we got the 286, 386, the 486, and after that was the Intel Pentium, I think it was called, the first proper processor. And in my first PC that was actually mine, it was just butchered from parts from here and there. Mm. And I learned how to build PCs when I was that age. So
old computers, man. Weird.
Imagine VR on those.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Oh. That's how I got started.
It's crazy how things changed so fast. My first PC back then was a Celeron. Was the cheaper version of the Pentium. Was from a Pentium 2. Like, I think 266 megahertz. That thing was a beast,
that
man.
That was a beast.
That was a beast. You could play like GTA
2. The top-down GTA.
Exactly.
That was the best.
Wow, it was crazy. Like you jumped and then you just got bigger a bit and then smaller again.
That was awesome.
It was intense. It was
actually intense. In all fairness, I didn't play. I played Grand Theft Auto 1 and 2.
Yeah.
And then when they came to the third person view, it was like.
You didn't play?
No. I didn't play San Andreas.
Oh, that one was good.
The GTA 4, I guess.
Oh, the Vice City one was.
I didn't play that one.
You missed something.
After GTA 2, I only played GTA 5.
That one as well was good.
Do you have any closing remarks? Where can people find you on the internet?
Just literally anywhere. Reach out on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube. And thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure. Follow at VRHuman on Instagram.
Yeah, do it. Go
what's,
follow.
What's on Twitter?
Go follow me. It's VR_human.
Gotta fix that shit, man.
Yeah. just follow all the humans, right?
All the VR humans.
All the VR humans. And all the domains, please. That would be
Well, that wraps up our first episode of Unlock Realities. Thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to listen to us ramble. And if you've made it all the way to the end, you're awesome. A big thank you to Vlad who agreed to do this with me. Give him a follow on social media and you're most welcome to join us again next time. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast so you don't miss our upcoming episodes. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Unlock Realities. Thank you again, take care, and until next time.
I will then cut it up and make something that resembles a proper interview.
Oh, you will edit it or?
Yeah.
Oh, it's cool. We play in sounds. Like, I love it. Like, I'm easily impressed. Like, some podcasts, pew, 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 choo, whoa.
Well, do you want to have
And if it fits, you
could. Star Wars.
It's your show, man. You decided, like, how stupid it's gonna be, so.